The Average Joe stock investor stuck it to the man this week. By the man, I mean Wall Street. But even if the little guy wins this round, we may all lose because regulators want to stop this from happening under the guise of hate speech and censorship. Specifically, they say they need AI censorship because if we can talk, if we can rally the banks, if we can make a run on the bank, they need to stop our ability to do this if they keep losing money. They're going to cut out our tongues, so to speak. They want to regulate us from being able to do this. So here is the story of how individual investors bested Wall Street twice now and how they are going to fight even harder to make this impossible for us soon. So it started this week because Roaring Kitty is back. This is Roaring Kitty's first tweet in 3 years. It's from a man named Keith Gill. He's just a regular dude who invests in the stock market. And in 2021, he started a rally of fellow individual investors to buy GameStop stock. GameStop stock soared in value and Wall Street lost billions. And I'm going to show you how in a second. He did this mostly on Reddit under the name Deep Effing Value. But not effing, spell it out, and also on Discord under the group name Wall Street Bets. So he did it again this Monday. And before we dive into this story, let's just look at how excited people are, not Wall Street, but people, users, about him being back. Here are some reactions that the Financial Times posted today, like, ah, how am I gonna sleep now? We're back, let's do it. Look at the next one. Let's see, what is he saying? Oh, I sat up the moment I saw this. Holy crap. Leaning forward, let's do it. D words out, boys. Like, they are ready. Here's some from Reddit. It's like, our king has risen. We're ready for this. Look at the next one. SpongeBob is screaming. In other words, people want this. And I think collectively we want to believe in it. We want to believe that the average guy has an influence in a stock value in Wall Street, that we have a chance to go up against the big banks, right? And so they think, the people who want to believe this, I'd say myself included, that Roaring Kitty is the guy who's going to lead us there because he did already once. So here he is telling us back in 2021 when this happened, because there was a congressional hearing about it, that he was just a regular dude, not a cat and not a Wall Street fat cat.
I'm not a cat. I am not an institutional investor, nor am I a hedge fund. I do not have clients, and I do not provide personalized investment advice for fees or commissions. I'm just an individual whose investment in GameStop and posts on social media were based upon my own research and analysis. I grew up in Brockton, Massachusetts. My family was not wealthy. My father was a truck driver, and my mom a registered nurse. I was one of three kids and the first in my family to earn a four-year college degree when I graduated from Stonehill College in 2009. That was not a good time to be looking for a job. From 2010 to 2017, I worked at a few startup companies, but there were significant periods when I was unemployed. I took an interest in the stock market, and even though I had very little money, I used those times to educate myself and learn more about investing. In 2019, after nearly...
Okay. Now, there is a part of me that's like, could he be a secret ruse of the globalists, right? But for the most part, we collectively hang our hat on the fact that he is a regular dude, right? But have you considered this, that maybe because they seem to want to use this to take away freedoms, that maybe he's a plant? I mean, I really don't want this to be the case. I just want to,
like, yeah, he's controlled opposition.
Not controlled opposition. Actually, someone who is planted to subvert markets to so that governments can go in and change the rules and take away our power to speak and rally stocks.
Right,
and
but that my kind point is by the government, planted by the government,
yes,
in order to, yeah, like a Trojan horse.
Right. So I've considered this. I don't want that to be true. I have no evidence that it is. I think the basis of this story is that he is a normal dude, about as, you know, normal and relatable as they come. So let's just, like, put that little doubt and give it a little bit of space, but let's put it behind us for now. Because this hearing, it seems to have shaken him up, and he went silent for the last 3 years. Well, until Monday. All he did on Monday was post this image of a gamer leaning forward. They call it aggressive mode, and people understood what that meant automatically because GameStop themselves in February had posted this same image, except it was blue. They said that's what gamers do when they go from casual to competitive. Now, it feels a little bit like an inside joke, right? Because this is an old tweet, and he posted it, and then everyone understood it immediately and went and bought GameStop. And look what happened to the stock. So you can see what happened when he rallied it in 2021. And then he waited 3 years, and here we are in 2024, and he rallied it again. So I want to explain to you why that chart meant that Wall Street lost so much money because they were shorting a stock. So I'm just going to quickly go over what that means because I think that we assume a lot of knowledge here. Let's just go over it quickly. Let's pretend we're going to short a stock for a company that makes 3D printed doghouses. We're going to call it Paw Print. Okay, I came up with that. It's a fictional company. So we are Wall Street investors. I'm a fat cat. Clayton's a fat cat. We think Paw Print is stupid. We want it to tank so that we can profit from it. So we go to our brokerage and we ask to borrow 100 shares of Paw Print at its current value of $100. So we have not bought the shares. We reserve it like a reservation of a hotel. And I made this journal entry here. So you see what we're doing is 100 shares at $100. We borrowed one. Oh, I have a typo there. Cash out zero. We have now a debt of $10,000, but we've only borrowed it. Now that means we owe the 100 shares of Paw Print to our brokerage. It's an actual debt. Okay. Now, while we borrowed that stock, we turn around and sell it at $100 per share to somebody else because we just borrowed it, right? So we have the right and we sell it to somebody else. Now we have $10,000 cash on hand. So we also have a debt still, though, of 100 shares. So we're about even, Steven. But when Paw Print drops, like we know it will, then we pay the brokerage back at the lower price. See this journal entry? We go around and now the brokerage is owed 100 shares. We pay them $5,000 for it and we pocket the cash. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it means to short a stock. So our 100 shares are now worth $5,000 and we get to keep the $5,000 that we sold it from when we borrowed. We never had to come out of cash, right? We never had to come out and pocket. Well, this is what was happening with GameStop. And Wall Street had borrowed the shares and then owed the brokerage one rate that was higher instead of lower. So let's say Paw Print went up instead of down. Take a look here at what would happen in that journal entry is that then we would owe the brokerage $15,000 instead of five, and we would be out $5,000. So this happened to GameStop to the tune of millions. Now, you ask yourself, is this legal? Well, let's say you were actually making a thing like the doghouse. You can sell and buy and trade the doghouse for different prices. That's legal. The problem is that Wall Street shorted 140% of GameStop shares. There cannot be 140% of GameStop shares. So they were shorting 40% of shares that did not exist. So if you take my doghouse example, if I go and sell doghouses that I didn't make and don't intend to make and don't have the money to make, well, then you can bet that I'm going to get a call from regulators saying you're selling things that are fraudulent, right? Why is Wall Street allowed to do this? Why does the government allow them to sell and trade things that don't exist? Well, the simple answer is because they can tax that based on air. So when GameStop,
but also that and having all those phantom shares, if the company goes under, they disappear. They don't exist. So they don't ever have to worry about the fact that they had 140% because all of them are gone. So there's now 0% possible stocks. They don't ever have to give them back.
Right. Great point.
Pay back.
Yeah, great point. They're betting, of course, that GameStop will not exist, right? All the signs were written on the walls, right, as the move towards digital video games has been unfolding, right? Mm-hmm. And people maybe not wanting to go buy used games or trading in games or whatever it is, right? And so there was a big bet, right, for GameStop as the business model was starting to collapse. You started to see Target removing games from their stores mm-hmm. or movies and physical media and things like that. Best Buy also doing the same thing. They're removing DVDs from their stores and all of that. Mm-hmm. So the writing has been on the wall for GameStop, and so that's why they were betting big that GameStop was going to collapse like Blockbuster.
Right. It was kind of a like, oh, we see this is, this is an anachronistic business. We know better. We're going to watch it tank and make money. Well, when it did not do that and Wall Street wanted it to, well, then they turned around to the little guys, pointed the finger and said that they can't do that. They can't rally a stock that's supposed to die. That's an artificial perversion, and it made us lose money, and we cannot tolerate that. We don't abide that shit, basically, is what the big bank said. And so once they did this in 2021, when the stock started to go up, then the trading app Robinhood turned off individual investors' ability to buy the stock any further to stop the stock from surging. So individual investors were furious. This halted the stock from having further rallies, and it stopped the bleeding for Wall Street. Well, whoever stops the bleeding for individual investors? Nobody. This was the epitome of what we were warned about in the film and the book, The Big Short.
I'm pissed off. American people,
we're getting screwed by the big banks.
And I am getting madder and madder.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Madder and madder, right? That's if you really understand it, you should be getting madder and madder. So Robinhood.
One of the things that was funny about the Robinhood thing was there at the time they did it, their claim was like, we're trying to protect the individual investor. You guys are making a bad decision. So we mm-hmm. shut off the buy button because you don't know how to trade stocks. So right. we're protecting you. That was
but,
their
right.
big.
But the sell button is fine, right? But you can't buy it.
You could sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We turned off one of the buttons because you're too stupid and we don't want you to make the mistake.
They did in a congressional testimony. He made the point that it had to do with margin calls and we had to wait until we had met this margin call and things like this. But historically, they have not done this in other situations like this. And in fact, the CEO, Vladimir Tenev, became public enemy number one to the point where he had to go into hiding. He said he was living in a hotel because he was receiving death threats for having done this. Now, another thing that happened was to shut down the average Joe investor that I think that we really need to be keen on watching is that Discord was reportedly receiving information that they called hate speech, and they shut down the Wall Street Bets group. So they're saying, okay, this group is hateful. We hate it because you've just tanked Wall Street's money. You hurt the wrong guys. We're supposed to help the big guys and hurt the little guys, but the little guys hurt the big guys. So we're gonna shut you down for hate speech. What was hateful about that? I guess they just hated the outcome. So now all we ever got from this was a congressional hearing. Congress members grilled Robinhood CEO Vladimir Tenev to pretend that they were on the side of the average Joe, but they weren't because nothing ever came of it. No one ever proposed a bill to make this not happen. No one ever voted on a bill to make sure this wouldn't happen again. No one ever changed the rules so that you can't trade non-existent stocks. You still can. You absolutely still can, and no one was punished.
Can I chime in with one more thing real quick
before
we move on?
Please.
Part of this, because this was the Wall Street Bets, which is now like the Superstock subreddit.
Yeah.
But one of the things they did that is how they actually put the squeeze on Wall Street was they weren't just buying the stock and trading it like an investor. They were buying it and holding it and then directly registering the shares, because directly registering the shares meant that 140% became less and less likely to ever be sold back, because they were basically like shining a light on the secret shares, but they weren't selling it. And that was the problem they had, was because then there weren't enough.
And that's the problem that Wall Street still has, which is how long can these diamond hand guys continue to hold these stocks? Eventually, you're going to have to sell them, right? Eventually, then we will be able to make our money back on these short sales. Eventually, you'll sell them. And they're not. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem. Like, how long can you continue to hold with diamond hands these stocks? And they're not, they're just going to continue holding it and continue going around and around and around, and they're not going to give it up.
Right. So take a look at what happened then on Monday when Roar and Kitty came back and incited another buy rally for GameStop. Is that Wall Street was, sellers were down $3.5 billion. This puts the two-day seller loss at $5 billion. So how do the big guys feel about this? Well, we don't have to guess, because former SEC Chair Jay Clayton was on CNBC and he told us.
This is Jay Clayton. He is former SEC chair and a CNBC contributor. And Jay, we've been kicking this around this morning. I got a whole lot of different takes on this. First of all, the short sellers didn't learn their lesson last time around. Second of all, retail investors are back with a vengeance, but you can't really call this investing either. These are massive swings. As a former SEC chair, what do you think when you look at all of this?
Well, it bothers me. It bothers me on many levels. I think your last guest got it right. It's a lot closer to gambling than it is to trading, and it's certainly not investing.
That's very condescending, wouldn't you say? What they're doing is not investing.
These people are in, and they're saying, we are investing in this company, AMC as well.
Yeah.
And we're putting $1,000 into this company. We've invested it in this company, and we believe that it can turn itself around. But also, we're doing it to plant a flag and to say you don't get to F with us.
Go ahead.
How can they, with a straight face, like, come on there and say, like, these people aren't investors. No, short sellers are investors. They're the ones investing in companies. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
So he's upset about the guys that are betting against the companies. He's upset about the guys that sell fake shares that don't actually exist.
No, he's on the side of those guys.
He's in favor of the guys that are selling 140% of a company. These are the same people, of course, that love fractional reserve banking, where there's no money in an actual bank and they get to lend money out that they don't even own, that they don't even have.
But it's the opposite of investing. It's trying to make money on someone else's suffering, right? And so what he's just said is that's totally legitimate. That's real investing. Those are the big boy pants. That's when you get out of the diapers.
Like pouring rat poison into the soup and calling that an investment in your future. Like, no, that is not. That is not. Yeah. You're not on my side.
But these people on Twitter or whatever platform they're on right now who say, yeah, let's do this. Let's try and have some control in the economy that we live in. Let's work together and do that. No, you're jokers. It's not real. It makes the SEC uncomfortable that you should even think that you would have any agency in the economy. Stop that. So what are they going to do to stop it? Well, we've already seen in the Twitter files that regulators have asked social media for the power to censor social media to stop a bank run or a stock market crash. We've seen those requests. And we've seen in October, the SEC asked for control of AI, or better put, you. Here is how Peter St. Ange described this in a video about this last October.
A few days ago, SEC Chair Gary Gensler gave a speech saying a financial crisis is, quote, nearly unavoidable unless we regulate AI. This is one of those rare scapegoat hostage combos. You see, if we have a financial crisis, which people like Gary in theory prevent, then it is clearly because we didn't let them censor ChatGPT. Meanwhile, for anybody skeptical about giving an authoritarian regime control over a tool with enormous potential to shape thought and expression so they can censor, surveil, and imprison political dissidents, the response is, give us AI or we break the banks.
Okay, so he goes on to say that with free speech, we can all talk about how the financial system is a sham, and we can then all collectively discover that the emperor has no clothes, and that's why they want to take away our free speech.
So controlling AI for them becomes a sort of updated version of John Maynard Keynes' animal spirits, a question of controlling the plebs' base instincts and emotional overreactions that break financial markets despite the very careful prudence of our ruling regulators. Of course, what's really happening is unregulated speech might help the masses see that the system is actually insolvent, which it is. And that would, of course, be a disaster for the people who made it insolvent, such as Gary Gensler. That then dovetails perfectly with the desperate effort by governments around the world to control and censor broader speech.
Yes, that.
Of course.
That is what's happening. So this feels like, okay, good, I see these guys going. Run, Atreyu. That's how I feel at this point, right? But what I'm worried about is that this makes regulators say, we can't let them talk amongst themselves on Twitter anymore. Look what they do. We're going to have to take away that power. So let me know what you think of that.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.